Okay, so the closest thing we have to a Parshas Shavua this week is Zos HaBrocha, which is the wedding, of course, of Shavuos Torah. So I want to speak about something which we've spoken about in the past, but from a different angle, and that is the old problem of the last eight psukim of the Torah. Is there a chumash there, by chance? You know, the Siddur has it, anyway. It's in the Siddur. Torah says, so the end of Parshas Zos HaBrocha, as we see a second, is the laning for the Chosn Torah. Torah says, starting eight psukim before the end, Vayomas Shom Moshe Eved Hashem Be'eretz Moav Al Pi Hashem. And Moshe Rabbeinu, the servant of Hashem, died in Eretz Moav, and the psukim go on to explain, Vayivkor Osav Agai, he's buried, and Vayivku, the Jewish people cried for him, and so on. A little bit of description about Moshe Rabbeinu. So this obviously poses a question, which the Gemara discusses in two places, in Baba Basra and in Menachos, as to who actually wrote those psukim. After all, how does Moshe Rabbeinu write the pasuk says, "Vayamas from Moshe"? Moshe died. So one of two things: either he was lying because he couldn't have written it while he was still alive. So how could it be that Moshe Rabbeinu writes something in the Torah is not true? On the other hand, if he already died, how did he write it? So this is the problem I'd like to look at a little bit this evening. As I mentioned, it comes up in the Gemara in two places. We'll look first at the second source. It's the Gemara in Menachos, Daf Lamed Amud Aleph. The Gemara says an interesting statement. Amar Yeshua bar Abba, Amar Rav Gidl, Amar Rav, Shmona Psukim Shabbatorah, the last eight Psukim in the Torah, Yochid Korah Osom, Bebeis HaKnesses. A Yochid is allowed to read these Psukim in Shul. That's exactly what that means. That's a whole shir in its own right. What do you mean, Yochid Korah Osom, Bebeis HaKnesses? There are quite a number of different interpretations as to what that means. What do you mean, a Yochid as opposed to whom? We'll come back to that point in a second. And ask the Gemara, Kiman, who is this going to? Well, who is it that says that these psukim are different than the other pasuk? Just mentioned, by the way, Rashi says, Shmona psukim, meaning, Mivayamas Moshe, starting that pasuk I mentioned before, Yamas Moshe, Yochid Korah Oson. So Rashi says, Odom Echod Koron, the Ein Mafsik Ben Time, Kedei Lamor Akar Likros. Yochid Korah Oson means one person should read all eight of those psukim. You don't break for an aliyah anywhere in those eight psukim. In other words, that's one unit. You want to call up a Hosafa, whatever, however you want, you don't do it in that aliyah. That's what it means. Yochid Korah Osam, it's got to be read by the same person. There are no breaks, even though, you know, you can have a break with three psukim usually and so on, but not here. These eight psukim are part of one unit. That's what Rashi says. Okay, anyway, others disagree. Once we've brought up Rashi, as I mentioned, Tosus and Menachos here, Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, B'divrei Maaseh L'Shmona Psukim, right? Harav Rabbeinu Meshulam Hai Mefarish L'Me'ute Shelo Yikra Shatz Imo. Different interpretations. Many of you are aware, when a guy gets called up for an aliyah to the Torah, so in the olden days, the person who got the aliyah would read his aliyah. You got called up, you better be ready to lane that aliyah. Hopefully they gave you some advance notice. But they would call you up, you read that aliyah. Today, we don't do that anymore. You get an aliyah, so we have a professional Balkari. Or less than professional Balkari, but hopefully somebody who prepared is going to lane that aliyah, and lane the whole parsha. So, however, the Rishonim point out, the Rosh Hashanah point out that it's proper for the Ola to read along sort of in an undertone. You could listen and be able to say, Davaya Shomer Ka'one, but maybe it's better, if you can, to read along with the Shliach Tzibur. So there are actually two people reading. There's the guy who's the Balkari is reading out loud. The Balkari is reading out loud, and the guy who gets the aliyah is reading sort of softly, in an undertone, a whisper to himself. So according to Ben Meshulam, when it says, Shmona Psukim Shabbat Torah Yochid Korah Osam, in these eight psukim, only one person reads it. The person who got the aliyah shouldn't read along. That's what it looks like from here. The Rashi's again in Yochid Korah Osam means no stops, no break for aliyah, one unit. But according to Tosus, Ben Meshulam, it means something totally different, namely that the Shas should not read. Ben Tam disagrees. So Ben Tam has a whole group of kashas on this pshat, and Ben Tam therefore offers a different interpretation. The other sugya, we'll come back with it inside in a second. The other sugya where this appears is in Baba Basra Daf Tezvav, Tezvav and Aleph. So Tos is there also. But Dir Maskel Shmona Psukim quotes Ben Meshulam, and again they quote the some of the question of the Tam. And here it says Omer Ben Tam, the Yochid Korah below Hasaka. Okay, Shalo Yikru Shnayim Zedal Psukim Zedal, like Rashi in Menachos. So that's the sheet of Rabbi Natam over here. The Rambam has a very peculiar sheet. Again, I'm not going to that whole shiur right now at the top, but the Rambam has a very peculiar sheet. This is Yochid Korzim, you can read it without a minion. You don't need to have a minion for those eight psukim. That's his interpretation. And others say that Yochid means not an individual, but a distinguished person. A Yochid is someone miyuchad, something special. And that's our minion. That's what we do. We have the Chosin Torahs, usually the Rav, or a prominent Talmud Chacham, a distinguished person. You know the Chosin Torahs here? We have a distinguished person who's right here. So the Nusach Svar Minyan.
I hope the, for them to give the check without getting done.
Okay, right. That was a fundraiser. Okay. But I saw you sponsoring the Kiddush, so I don't know, Mazel Tov. So with many shuls, that's what they give it. Most shuls, they give it to a person who's distinguished, who learns, and so on and so forth. As an aside, I just want to share with you, it's all an aside. I'm interrupting myself, but, you know, we'll get some other interesting ideas. Rav Soloveitchik is quoted in the Sefer Hare Kedem. Every minig had to have a base in halacha. So believe it or not, in this little essay here, this brief essay, the Rav is talking about the reshus that is read before calling up the Chosin Torah. It's a whole text. Usually a guy gets in the lead, we say Amod, so and so, and he comes up. Here there's a whole text, a whole piyut, a beautiful piyut, and then we say Amod, 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 right? And make a whole production about it. So the Rav is wondering, why do we say Amod, Amod, Amod? Huh? So the Gabbai says he's using the Gabbai. Right, the Gabbai calls up, there's a whole stammer, a very beautiful piyut, actually. But in fact, the truth is, I thought that the one for Chasim Peish is even more beautiful, but they're both very nice. Anyway, so the Rav wants to know, why do we say Amod, Amod, Amod three times? Usually we carry, yeah, Amod, so-and-so. So here in, let's see if I can find it. It's in the Hare Kedem, volume, Chelek Aleph, this is, yeah. Chelek Aleph, Simon, Kuf Nun Gimel. Kuf Nun Hey. Kuf Nun Hey. Hine Bereshus, She'omer L'chvod HaChasim Torah V'Chasim Bereshus, HaNusach Hu Amod Amor Gimel Pamim. Why do we say Amod three times? So the Rav said as follows. The Gemara says in Brachos, Taf Lamed Dalam and Aleph, a famous Gemara, Tan Rabbonon, Ha'over Lifnei Teva Tzorach L'Sarev. When they offer you to be the Chazan, you shouldn't right away leap at the opportunity, but rather you should display some hesitancy to you, you should refuse. If you don't delay and you run right away, so it's, you know, it's a negative comment about you. On the other hand, Messiah, you also be died, but it's also not, you don't keep refusing name. Either Slechtzibu, you're qualified. You keep saying, no, I'm not worthy, not me. It's also no good. So, Keter, also, Palm Rishoni is sorry. The first time you say no, then he asks you again, Shnia, Mehave, more acquiesce, a little bit given, but still not leaping. And finally, Shlishis posts right over there. Then you go. The third time. So the Rav noted, that's by being a chazan. But we don't find such a din when you're called up for Leni. If a guy calls up an Aliyah, the Gabbai asks you, want to give you a Shlishi, or whatever. He gives you a little card, or he asks your name. You don't tell, oh no, not me. We don't find that. We only find it by being a Shliach Tzibur. Why? As a matter of fact, on the contrary, the Gemara says in Brachos, Daf Nun Hamad Aleph, that one of the thing is, Gimel Dvarim Mekatzim Yom HaVishnol Sosh Adam. There are three things which shorten somebody's life, Rachman Al Tzan. And one of them is, they call you up to read the Torah. They tell you, you're going to read the Torah, and you refuse to do it. That's no good. So why is it different? So the Rav explained as follows. There's a difference between serving as the shatz and being called up an aliyah. Serving as the shatz, he says, Lamina shatz asher inyan shal srora ugdula. You are the representative of the tzibur. Right? You're now being designated as somebody who the whole tzibur counts upon. We don't tend to think about that too often when a guy dives to the yom. But you know what we do think about? On Yom Naron. Right? You have the whole hinami. Right, here's a person, or even within the Chazar, the whole Hinnani is the person saying, you know, he's humble. It's funny, Hinnani became the big Chazan Shafis, you know, what really the Chazan is saying in Hinnani is he's not really royal Lekach. I remember many, many years ago, and I heard the story, it wasn't there, but I heard it from my aunt, my mother's aunt, Olashom, so she was, sometimes you have Chazanim who are not the most knowledgeable. So in this particular shul, they had a little choir of some of the little kids. So there was time for Musaf, and Rosh Hashanah, or Yom Kippur, whatever it was, and the Chazan wasn't in the room. And everyone's, you know, wondering what's going on. Suddenly the choir assembles, and one of the little boys begins to sing, and he says, Ayei Shliach Tzibur, and sings a tune, where's the chazan? And suddenly, after he says it 3-4 times, the doors swing open, and he goes, Hineni, here I am, you know. And then Hineni, Ani Mimah, it just doesn't seem to go together. And my great grandfather, Rav of the Shul, and my aunt told me that he was sitting in his seat, and he just like sunk all the way down in his seat. The other story about Hineni, I once heard from the Shechter, you know, there's a din, it's actually Megillah Simchas Torah, that you're not supposed to, there's a question in the Gemara, what happens if it's time to daven Musaf, and it's also ready Minchas Man. Usually on Shabbat it's not a problem. Usually we finish, even if the rabbi speaks, at 10:30, 10:45, you can't daven Minchas then. So you daven Musaf. What happens if the davening schleps out and it's now already 1:15 or 1:30, it's time to daven Minchas? What should you do? Should you daven Musaf or should you daven Minchas? So the discussion in the Gemara, some of you remember from the fourth paragraph of Brachas, general accepted practice is we will daven, if it's a tzibur, we'll always daven the Musa first and then Mincha, but it's better to avoid the situation. So Shachar said when he was a boy once, his father was Rav of the Shul, it was Yom Kippur, and I guess the davening of Shachar slept out with Piyut and whatever else, and it was getting time for Mincha. So his father was the Rav of the Shul, Melech Shachar, so he told the Chazan, we better hurry up and start Musa so we can avoid this whole problem, the Musa Mincha problem. So he suggested to skip Hineni. Because Hineni is not really an ikker part of the school. We'll go right to the Kaddish. The Chazan was taken aback. Skip Hineni. this whole moment. That's why he became a Chazan in the first place, say Hineni. But in all seriousness, Hineni is a tefillah, which is really the Chazan says he's representing the Tzibur. And in the Chazar Sashat as well, both on Moshe and Kippur, there's another. Again, people don't pay attention necessarily, but in Musaf, you have Ochilo Akel, right? Ochilo Akel, he's saying, Hey, and Pifi, Osucha, Am Chobez Yisrael. In Musaf and in Shachris, both all days, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, but right before the any of the Piyutim start, there's a whole tefillah. You know, so the Rav is saying here that you're appointed as a chazan. It's a position of authority. It's a position of leadership of the tzibur. Memela, for that kind of thing, you're supposed to stand up and say, "Look, I'm not really roy." So you refuse 3 times before you become a chazan. Masrenekin, a guy who's called off an aliyah, he's in the mitzvah. You're supposed to run to do a mitzvah as fast as you can. So the Rav writes his father. The Rav says, and Rav Shurkin writes in here, Ulam b'kriyas shmona psukim achona shabat Torah, siyam haTorah. These last psukim yachid korei osam. So one of the interpretations we just mentioned is the Mordechai is yachid haynu yachid hamiyuchad be'eda hamuchtar b'kesar Torah. That's what the Rav brings in the Shulchan Aruch Siman Tov for Samach Tes. The kachi minig Yisrael, she had Messiah Talmid Chacham Gadol Shabbat Tzibur Davka. Should be one of the biggest Talmid Chachamim in town. And the Shabur brings it. So therefore, that Aliyah is Taka Svara. That Aliyah is somebody, we're designating him as, you know, one of the primary Talmid Chachamim and honored persons in the Tzibur. So therefore, in such a case, you have to refuse right away. You don't just grab that Aliyah like you do any other Aliyah during the course of the year. The Mela, since it's like a Svara, so you refuse a few times, so therefore, the meaning developed, said the Rav, to say, Amod, 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 3 times as you finally come up. Okay, just an interesting, I thought it was an interesting side point. Because regular laning, the way we do it, especially, you have the Baal Kriya. So you're called up, you have a mitzvah, right? You're just getting a mitzvah, saying Baruch Hu, so okay, good, but it's just a mitzvah. Anyway, that's to suggest, I don't want to, I belabor the point, but it's an interesting point about Yachid Karism. Anyway, getting back to our topic. So you have these different interpretations, but went off the field, but the Gemara, it's worth knowing. So the Gemara in Menachos says as follows. The Gemara brings, after telling us this din, that these 8 psukim have a special status. So the Gemara says, what's going on? The Tanya, Vayomas Shom Moshe Ever Hashem. The Pasuk says, Moshe died. Efshar Moshe Chai V'Kosar Ramas Shom Moshe. Is it possible that Moshe is dead and he writes, I mean, Moshe is alive, rather, and he writes, well, I'm a son of Moshe, I mean, how can you do that? It's not true. Elo ad kan kosov Moshe, mikan beilach kosov Yeshua ben Nun. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Rabbi Nechemiah. According to Yehuda, and some say from Nechemiah, and Echadami, Moshe Rabbeinu did not write the last 8 psukim of Torah, the last 8 psukim of Torah written by Yeshua. Moshe couldn't write the Elma Shom Moshe, and then he was buried, and then the people cried after he died. It makes no sense for a live person to write. That can't be. So therefore, obviously, it wasn't written by Moshe, says Rabbi Yehuda, but that is written by Yehoshua ben Nun. So Amar Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Shimon responded, how can it be? Efshar Sefer Torah Chaser Os Achas. Can it be that the Sefer Torah was left by Moshe Rabbeinu incomplete, missing even one letter? Because the pasuk says earlier in Parshas Vayelech, "L'siv la kolach es sefer haTorah zeh v'samtam asol ba'aron," etc. Moshe Rabbeinu instructed the Levim to take this Sefer Torah and point that it's going to be a completed work, that he himself completed the entire, that was the last day of his life, in Parshas Vayelech. Moshe is saying, Lakoch is Sefer Torah Zeh, take the Sefer Torah, implying that it's a complete work. So it can't be that Yeshua finished it. So therefore, what took place? Elo ad kana kodesh baruch hu omer Moshe kosev. Moshe kosev omer. It gives a problem, but basically, through Kol HaTorah Kula, kodesh baruch hu spoke, and then Moshe Rabbeinu repeated, and then wrote it down. We'll see maybe the time the Rav said, and the Shachta quotes it in the Nefesh HaRav, in the essay on Pasuk Zos HaBracha, that it was a Nevuah, right? Kodesh Baruch Hu told it the Nevuah, but in order for Nevuah to have a Chalos Shem Nevuah, the Navi has to state it. Plus it says, Bori Niv Slosayim, after from the Kippur, Bori Niv Slosayim. Kodesh Baruch Hu created the ability to speak, and Nevuah, the very word Nevuah, is a derivative of the same root as Niv, Bori Niv Slosayim. So the definition of Nevuah is that it is articulated. Once it was Nevuah, then Moshe could write it down. Then it's part of Torah. We first had to speak it. Okay. So that's it. It was called Torah Kula. However, Mikan Va'el HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omer, U'Moshe Kosev B'Dema. And Moshe wrote these last eight psukim. He didn't say it, but rather he cried. It says Rashi, Mikan Va'el HaMoshe Kosev B'Dema V'Lo Haya Omer Achav Mirov Tzaro. He didn't repeat it. These psukim are unique in that Moshe Rabbeinu did not say the words. Usually, Kol HaTorah Kula, up until the last eight psukim, Moshe Rabbeinu, before writing it down, said the words. As Rashi says beforehand, Kodesh Baruch Hu Omer, Moshe, Omer, Achav, Kedei Shalayita, B'Chsav, B'Chosei. So not to make a mistake, Moshe Rabbeinu would say it first, then he'd write it down. So says the Gemara, says the Sub Shimon, Moshe did write the eight psukim, the last eight psukim of the Torah, but somehow he didn't write them in the normal fashion as he had written the rest of the Torah, namely speaking the words out first and then writing. But rather, he cried, and he just wrote the words down. That's the Gemara. That's the Gemara in Menachos of Lamed Amud Aleph. And in Bava Basra, more or less the same idea. Rabbi Yehuda says, and so says Rabbi Nechemiah says, that Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't write the psukim that speak about his death. Therefore, it was written by Yehoshua. And the other opinion is no. Like we just said, Moshe Kosev B'Dema, and in Bava Basra, the statement of Yochid Korah son follows this Machlokes, and that's why, Yochid Korah son, why? Because Ho V'Ishtanu Ishtanu. Because since they're different, there's something different about the status of these, and therefore, you see, even according to Shimon, that Moshe said them, but there's still something different because he did it B'Dema. So this is a this is the Gemara. So, I just want to look at a couple of the classic explanations on this topic. The comment of Elia Mizrahi, the Mizrahi on Rashi, on that pasuk, it's Perek Lamed Dalad Pasuk Hey. Rashi quotes this in Chumash. Rashi is also Bracha. Kadosh Baruch Hu Omer Moshe Kosev B'Dema. What does that mean? So says the Mizrahi, V'lo B'Dyo. He didn't write it down with ink like he did the rest of the Sefer Torah. That's how we, when I first learned as a kid, that's what we learned, that Moshe Rabbeinu cried, and somehow his tears formed the letters in the Sefer Torah. He didn't write it with Yo. Today, Los Hebdo Ben Aches Tzukum HaLashar Kol HaTorah Shei Yochid Korosam Kedis Per Kashut and fine, and quotes the Gemara here in Bava Basra, and so on. The idea of the Mizrahi, therefore, is he didn't write it down with ink. The Gur Aryeh, the Maharal Prague, disagrees. Maharal Prague says, Udvarim Bilti Muvonim. What do you mean? He didn't write the Sefer Torah with ink. He wrote it with his tears. The Kaimalon Sefer Torah shall cause b'diyo psula. The Sefer Torah that's not written with ink, if you take some other type of dye or some other type of color that isn't kosher ink, it's not a kosher Sefer Torah. Right? Sefer Torah is written with a certain type of ink. It takes something else that makes letters appear, with blood or something like that. It won't be good. It's got to be diyo. So the Maharal says, you mean tell me that the Sefer Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote wasn't Al Bidina Kosher Sefer Torah? Because that's what the Mizrahi says. You say that we wrote it without Dio, we wrote it with his tears. Is that not a Kosher Sefer Torah? Okay. So that can't be. The Od, the Lama Yishtano Hana Psukim Liktov Shalom B'Dio. And what does that accomplish anyway? I mean, what's the whole thing? So he wrote it with his tears. What does that show? What does that prove? How does that solve any of the problems? I mean, the whole problem is, did Moshe Rabbeinu write and speak about his own death? That doesn't solve the problem. So he wrote it with his tears. So the he finds the Mizrahi difficult, and the Gurai, the Mahalmi Prague, says differently. Okay, he says Moshe Kosev the Dmos. What does it mean? He said Al Perusho Moshe Kosev Demasher Moshe Bocha Al Misoso. Moshe was already crying over his own death. In effect, the Mahalmi Prague says it as follows. It's not that he wrote it, the demo, with tears instead of ink. He wrote it with ink. He was crying when he wrote it. Why? Because, in effect, the Maharal said, his neshama had already started to depart. He recognized his own death, right? He realized that he's dying. And therefore, he was mitotzar, and suddenly he was crying at his death. Moshe bochal misoso. Okay? And therefore, he says, kei Moshe bochal misoso, zeu hascholas hamisa. Vizeu vayomos Moshe. Not a lie to say Vayomos Moshe, because in a certain sense you already had died. Hadn't really yet died, but the process of death. I'm here, doctor, death is a process. No, they assume today medically knows that there's a process of death. That's not a one moment, but that's a whole shaila in medical ethics, I guess. But right?
But here you're talking about Mitat Neshika.
Right, that's a problem. Okay, I understand.
No, which is really, what is Mitat Neshika? You accomplish your mission.
Right. So that's a hard question, why he was crying.
And then that's it. You did what you had to do.
Okay, but anyway, somehow the Maharal says that there's some kind of a process that of death that had started, therefore it was okay for him to write those words. Okay. I'd like to look at probably the most famous interpretation of this that is presented by the Vilna Gaon, the Groa in the Sefer Kol Eliyahu. He's also bothered by the whole thing. He quotes the Gemara, and he says, quotes the whole Gemara, both in Menachos and in Bava Basra, and V'inei Akusha Niglas Lakol, says the Gaon. The Kasha is astounding. Heich Teretz Tiretz of Shimon, the Kusha is Yehuda. The Komar Efshar Moshe Chai, the Kosov Amos HaMoshe. What was the problem? What was the Yehuda's original problem? The Yehuda's original problem was how could, Rabbi Yehuda was the one who said that Yoshua finished it, right? So, what prompted him to say that? He said, it's Mepsi Kishikra. Moshe Rabbeinu can't write. When Moshe died, it looks like a lie. So how does the fact that he wrote it with tears solve that problem? In other words, how does Reb Shimon respond to Yehuda's problem? Yehuda's whole problem was, how could Moshe Rabbeinu write by almost some Moshe? That's Mepsi Kishikra, it's a lie. So he answers, oh, he wrote it with tears. So now it's not a lie? I mean, how does that solve the problem? You want to say, like, the Maharal, death person started already, okay. But the Gaon says, my tears are a cosmic dema. Okay? And even if he says, so Rashi says, tried to answer by saying, well, he didn't say it, right? L'chora, tikein Rashi's alakusha, ki kol ha-torah, mar kodesh baruch hu kol teva l'moshe, v'chozer v'omar kol teva, right? The kodesh baruch hu said each word, and Moshe Rabbeinu repeated each word after him, and these tzukim Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say, because otherwise it would be a lie, right? That's why Moshe didn't say it. Ki k'sheker. However, says the Gaon, achakafi kosher, ki af below amira klal, chalul l'doshos ha-kos, ashenipav av lokom novi, lichtov sheker. Oh, writing a lie is okay as long as I don't say it? Right? In other words, even according to the Rashi says, the Gaon is bothered. Because the Gaon says, so, okay, so he didn't say a lie. All right, well, that takes care of part of the problem. But it doesn't solve the entire problem because he still wrote something that's a lie. So you write something, that's okay. It's okay to write something that's a lie as long as you don't say it? Or not? Especially Moshe Rabbeinu, right? So in the footnote, he says, oh, this may tie up to the whole question. He's talking about other shirim, of what a ksiva is kadibur dami. Right, so when you write something, does it have the same status as when you say it? Now, if Kamina, for many dinim, if you write something down, what's Shira Sa'omer, I write down the Shira, I write down, I don't say it, is that good enough? And in other areas, what about Haggadus Eidus, you know, and various other shitas, the famous exchange between Bekiv Eger and his uncle in the first volume of the Truths of Bekiv Eger, I think around the Chavtes, back and forth on various different areas of Amira, Ksiva Kedibur Dami. Okay, but I don't go into that now. But in any event, so the question is, what was the answer to Rabbi Huda's problem? Rabbi Huda's problem was, how come Moshe write a lie? And you tell me, well, he wrote it with his tears. It's still a lie. And you tell me he didn't say it? Okay, but he still wrote a lie. On the flip side, says the Gaon, what does Rabbi Shimon Taka do with Rabbi Huda's what does Rabbi Huda do with Rabbi Shimon's kasha? Rabbi Shimon's whole kasha was, how can it be that Moshe Rabbeinu left some of the Torah unwritten? That's not possible either. So how did he answer his problem? So neither one of them. The Gaon says the whole sugya is strange in both places. Neither party addresses the other one's problem. So now we have two kashas. We have a kasha on his side and a kasha on his side. Neither one resolves it. So listen to the Gaon. That's why he's the one Gaon. Omnam yesh leforish kishneim divrei elokim chaim. They're both right. Umar amarchad, umar amarchad, a low pligi. Guess what? It's not really machlokas. What's going on? Kilachor kosher b'divrei gemar. Ma machshel ches tzukam arkonish b'torah. Heich nichte b'moshu hayadayin chai. Why are we suddenly concerned? How could Moshe Rabbeinu write the last eight psukim? Halo kola Torah kula oisinichteves apayim shana kodem b'riyas ha'olam. The Torah was already in existence before the world. That's the concept of the Medrash. Certain things pre-existed the world. One of them is Torah, six, the Tshuva, various other things. So one of the things which pre-existed the world is Torah and existed for thousands of years. So it's Dakuba, Raisaba, Alma, right? Because Rabbi looked in the Torah and then he created the world. So the whole Torah is a lie, Rachman Hassan. What do you mean? There was no yet Bracious Baruch Hakim. It wasn't true either. Right? We're going to learn Bracious on Sunday. It wasn't true either. At the time it was written, 2,000 years before the world, by Heor and, you know, Hirakia and Himoros and all the other things, it also wasn't true. So, and there was no Dar Mabel, no Yitzhak Mitzrayim, nothing. So, how could he write the Torah before? So, what does it mean, Taka? So, the Gaon answers all this with one piece of Gaonus. Omnam zos yadua ki kol ha-Torah u'shmos ha-Shal Kadosh Baruch. The Kabbalistic concept, Ramban talks about this in his introduction to his Parish on the Chumash. The whole Torah is the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What do you mean? Somehow you take all the letters of the Torah and Serufei Osos, it's a picture of the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Haino Aydei Tzirufim Shal Osos Tevos. So Lifnei Brias Olam Haisa Torah Amadei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Pitzirufim Yisodos Nelamim. Originally, when we speak about the Torah pre-existing the world, it wasn't written as we open up the Sefer Torah now and you can make out the words. It was somehow this whole picture of different letters and combinations of different words and letters that was the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You and I would look at it, we wouldn't know what it was talking about. That's the Torah that pre-existed the world. Right? So there's nothing in there that's quote-unquote not true because it doesn't say Yehi-Or or Yehi-Moros, etc. It's not readable the way we would read it today. He says, the law has a nikris come out the rock up his small so called borhu but the acha shabara kadosh baruch is all and us and all so the seven mitzvos he tzvich and las us bigul mock was man causes the Torah bear hate a class us call mitzvos then when the Torah is given to the Jewish people so then the Torah had to be crafted the letters had to be arranged and rearranged in a certain way that now became clear that anybody could read it the way we can to explain it the atom the Torah did the gemara ki kavanas im shinen is eich efshal yo sefer Torah chos afil os achas v'gam shalos kesheker? How could it be? How do you have it both ways? How can you say the Torah wasn't missing anything and yet Moshe's not lying? I mean, we're stuck. Either he wrote something that wasn't true or the Torah was missing something Yeshua finished it. That's our problem, right? So what does it mean? So he says, l'kachu omer ad kana kadosh baruch Moshe omer v'kosev v'atzon sh'omer Moshe kol teva teva kasher yiksuva v'yadena v'gila ha-mitzvos. What did Moshe Rabbeinu do? Every time HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him something, he rearranged the pre-existing letters of the Torah that somehow spelled out the name of Hashem into Ksav that you and I and other Jews can read. But he couldn't do that with those eight psukim because it wasn't true. After everything else happened, so Moshe Rabbeinu could recraft it. So therefore, because on the other hand, it couldn't be finished by Yeshua because how could Moshe leave it? Lekach Omar Shekosa B'dema Hapirish Ruhu Meloshon Meleas Chavidimacha Ratzalom Meduma Irvuv Osios. Dema has got nothing to do, gentlemen, with tears. We thought it's demos. We have, you know what Meduma is? Those of learned Zoran. Meduma is when you're not sure whether it's Tevel, right? The Chumas and Mises have been separated. It's Meduma. Meleas Chavidimacha. Okay, Lo Sachar Pasuk Parshas Mishpatim. Dimacha from Dimua, something which is the irvuv, something is mixed up. That's what the word dema means in the Gemara. Not he wrote it with tears, like the Mizrahi said, like the Gurayah said, although differently. Dema has to do with meduma loshon, meduma the irvuv osios. So therefore, what happened here? So it's true. Moshe Rabbeinu did not say it here. He just the Sefer Torah existed in this other form. The last eight psukim, in effect, remained in the other form. What?
The original way.
Yehoshua then re-straightened those letters out to be readable to us. So now, says the Gaon, you have Eloviel, you have both, everything works out. Moshe Rabbeinu did write it. How did he write it? He wrote it in that original fashion, that unintelligible fashion, the original way, because to write it down by Yom HaShem Moshe, that it should be readable by us, that he can't do. It's Nesek HaShikra. On the other hand, he didn't leave the psukim alone altogether, did not ignore, he just left them in the old-fashioned way. And then Yehoshua finished them up. Vim Cain says the Gaon, Hashnei Adeis Lo Pligi, Ki Be'emes Kosvan Moshe, Indeed, Moshe wrote it. V'lo chasar filo osechot. Not one letter was missing by Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the entire Torah. Rak chekiches psukim eil lo hel yochel lichtov es hanigle. But these eight psukim couldn't write in the revealed, intelligible fashion. Because of kafiat tzirufim, therefore he wrote it down in this other fashion, like the original fashion. V'zehu b'dema. And then Yoshua kosim kafiat nigle. After Moshe died, Yoshua turned them around into the way that we read it today, kedas v'yehuda. Ushneim maskim l'dei achas ki nitzav l'dei shneim al'dei Moshe nista v'asod al'dei Yeshua nigle kasher iksudim l'dor dor. That's the Gonos of the Vilna Gaon. So that's how he explained it. Just as an aside, I mean, there's a famous Gaon that I came across a couple of years ago, believe it or not, the Baal Shem Tov al HaTorah said the same thing. You wouldn't expect, not likely that either one read the other one's interpretation, but very interesting. In Parshas Zos HaBrocha, it's mamish almost the same thing. No, not quite, but basically the same result. That in the Baal Shem Tov al HaTorah, he has the same problem. He says, the Chimishum Shakasa B'dema Nicha. Oh, he was crying, so now it's okay. Now it's not a lie. How does it do it? Right? Ilo Kushm Koma Emes and so on. And then he has the same Kasha. Halo Kala Torah Kodma Paim Shana Kodim Shnivra Olam. The same Kasha. Okay? And things that didn't happen yet, it doesn't make any sense. So therefore he says, Amna Emes Kainu Ki HaTorah Kdosh Riosa Nivra Rak B'Taruvas Osios. Same thing. And ובכל איס זמן שנצהב איזה אין מלום, אז נצטר פה אלו יוסף, נצהב לו, צירוף את אבס נצהב, סיפור זה העניין. And each thing in the Torah happened, then the letters were turned around by Moshe to be in the intelligible fashion as today. So, therefore, it's interesting. And he also says, Dema is Lashon Taruves Kiyadua, like same thing with the Duma. So, the Baal Shem Tov doesn't say that both of Yehudim and Shimon are saying the same thing below Pligi. That's the Gaon's episode. But the basic is so, ironically enough, is in the both in the Baal Shem Tov and in the Gaon. A lot of stuff parallel, tremendous amount. But this is the previous door, right? The Baal Shem Tov. And I once heard somebody comment that it's interesting. You know, the Baal Shem Tov brought. The Baal Shem Tov brought. I guess the avodah of the Baal Shem Tov Chassidim is the Simcha, right? You know, Simcha is what the Chassidim brought. You know, so the emphasis on Simcha. The Gaon, of course, is on Torah. So ironically, the Gaon was nifter on Sukkot, Zman Simcha Seino, and the Baal Shem Tov was nifter on Shavuos, Zman not in Torah Seino. It's an interesting twist. Anyway, so that's from the Gaon. Just to end off, the Soloveitchik had, there were such a quote from Nefesh HaRav on Parshas Zos HaBrocha. I'll read the second piece first. It's interesting. Because the Rambam says, you know, you don't need a minion, that whole story. So he says, what's the pshat? I mean, that you know, Moshe Rabbeinu was crying. I mean, he knew he was going to die. Everybody dies. And certainly, as you just said before, Moshe Rabbeinu, his mission was accomplished. I mean, you know, he knew already he'd Bas Hanan, he had davened 515 tefillos, and Medrash says, Kaminyan Bas Hanan, to go into Eretz Yisrael. And he knew he's not going into Eretz Yisrael. Here they are at the, you know, the threshold of anything. I tell you, no, he's going to die, so what is it? So he mentions the Gaon Lashon Medum, but according to the regular thing, what's the crying? So the Rav said like this, interesting, V'hanira lomar shalafichach bocha, shehevin shepsukim elu lo niskadchu al yodo. He said, these psukim, like I mentioned before, in order for something to have Kedusha Sefer Torah, so it has to be the Nevuah first, and it'll be Omer V'kosev. But here he wasn't Omer V'kosev. So therefore, these last eight psukim, Kibishas Ksivoso Adayin Lo Korodav Rezeb, right? Adayin Lo Hoya Emes, it was only Nevuah. V'apsukim Eilu Niskadch Me'elem Lachar Zman, right? You want to say Moshe wrote it somehow B'Nevuah. In other words, you can answer the whole question, how could Moshe write B'Amos on Moshe? He wrote it B'Nevuah. But since it wasn't yet true, it hadn't come true, so then it's not Niskadish with the full Kedusha, and that's why he was crying. And, you'll tell me, but the other Nevuahs in the Torah didn't come true yet either, right? The other Nevuahs didn't happen right away either. And it's dumb that those things are all Niskadish with the Kedusha Sefer Torah. Shani Hasam, Shikh Loshan Osir. All of those things are written as Nevuahs that will happen. So in the mail, it's okay to write it down. It's Loshan Osir, but here it's Vayom Shamosha Loshan Obar. And that's the problem, and that's why he was crying. But there's a side point. But as far as Harris was concerned, so the Rav had an interesting comment. Tosus quotes in Menachos that there is a chumrah and a minig that sofrim, people who write a Sefer Torah, they've ever gone and seen somebody write a Sefer Torah, Tosus Menachos Lamed Amalav B'Divrei Maschil Moshe Kosev. It says the Chumra he Lekosev Sefer Torah Mezuzah V'Tilon that you should. If you ever seen a guy write, he says the word first, then he writes it. Right, what's the pshat? So it's based on this. So it's a Chumra. On a minig among the sofrim, that's how they do it. So the Rav said, "What do you mean? It's a Chumra. It's brought in the Shulchan Aruch. It's in our day, seven reish. I am dalat six days. But that's the practice. The sofer says the word before he writes it. Why is it a Chumra? According to the Gemara, they learn it from Moshe, and it sounds like it's Nikar Adin. So he says the Rav said as follows." Shakarish Baruch Hu Amar Sanavul Moshe, who Amar Techev is Divrei Nevul Bnei Yisrael. Lakachaka who the Kassel said. Why? The law, like I said before, the law Mikri Nevul, the law Chal Allah Chalos Nevul, Ad Shalom Moshe Rabbeinu Bnei Yisrael. It's only once Moshe Rabbeinu said it that it was given the status of Nevul. Therefore, with Moshe Rabbeinu, before he said the words, he wasn't really allowed to write it down, because he's only writing down this Altz Nevul. But he can only write it out to Nebuah once it has the status of Nebuah. When does something have the status of Nebuah? Only after it's verbalized, articulated. So Mamela, Loam Rosha Rashaila Koso. Shageder inim Ksiva Satorah, Lahapoch has Dibra Nebuah, Shalom Dibra Torah. What is it writing the Sefer Torah? It transfers Moshe's Nebuah into Torah. That's only once it's Nebuah. So, the Sofrim, that's got nothing to do with the Sofrim. Do Mashanago, Sofrim, Dakhtik, Likro, Tominus, Apostle, Fiam, Kodz, Yir Nebuah, Ainz Ela Chumra. And that's why it's just a chumra. It's not modeled. It's chumra modeled after Moshe Rabbeinu, but it's not the same thing. Anyway, Mamela, so we find, and these last eight psukim, but these last eight psukim were not transferred into words of Nevuah by Moshe, into words of Torah by Moshe Rabbeinu, and therefore they have this different status. So those are some of the different interpretations relating to the this problem of the last eight psukim, the Shmonah psukim of the Torah. I mentioned all the different pshatim and Yachid Korei Osan. So our practice is that we assign this. We pretty much follow several of the shitas. We don't make any hosafas. We don't stop in those psukim like Rashi said or Ben Atam said. We call up the miyuchad shibet tzibur, a very distinguished person at tzibur. As far as not reading the minyan or the other pshat of not reading along, I know that some people, I think, and I couldn't find this, but I think I remember hearing that Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, Rav's father, when he was called up for Chasam Torah, that he taka did not read along those eight psukim. Even though he always read along when he was the Ola, he did not read along these eight psukim. I couldn't find it. I thought I'd see some print and I didn't find it. But those are, but as far as certainly the other two, that we don't make any hosafas, we call up from, actually we start earlier than those eight psukim. We start by Manu Ela Kekedem, and we read that as one Aliyah. We don't have any hafsakas or interruptions there. And we call up the Yuchat Shibit Tzibur, who's called the Chasam Torah. I'll just end by saying that, it's always my shul, so the minigah and the rabbi of the shul, so I guess they always give me the Chasam Torah. So Simchas Torah is obviously a joyous day by definition. But I always personally find it very, very moving to read those last eight psukim of the Torah. Somehow I'm always very emotional. I'm not the Balkar, I got the Aliyah, but I'm up there obviously. And I think it really, it's just a Jewish, but to me it's very, very meaningful on many levels. I'm not going to spend the time on it now. But, the Simchas Torah is a whole simcha. And I know, unfortunately, many times there's so much tumbling, so by the time you get to Chasam Torah, it's, people have made kiddush and they're running around. And it doesn't, the last reading doesn't quite have the dignity that I think it should have. I think that, reading that Moshe Rabbeinu was unable to go into Eretz Yisrael. I always break up when it comes to that pasuk. V'shama lo yehavo. You can look at it from the hills, but you're not going to go in there. And V'shama lo Moshe is a tremendous thing. It's almost, to me, it's almost avelus on Simchas Torah. How could it be? How could it have avelus on Simchas Torah? But I think that that's really what it is. That is the simcha. The simcha is here was that we have the Sefer Torah for which Moshe Rabbeinu was Moshe Nefesh to give us the Torah. It's really the greatest joy is to be moved by the ptira, so to speak, of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's a simcha, because that shows that's what a Rebbe is. That's Moshe Rabbeinu, that he gave everything so that Klal Yisrael can have the Torah. To me, I felt that it was always a moving section, but it's not a stira to the simcha. So adarabba, it enhances the simcha. So that we have this tremendous simcha. We should appreciate, we should appreciate what the Torah is. And we read these eight psukim, our whole history, the different status, everything we discussed. But Sof Kol Sof, we're reading about the death of Moshe Rabbeinu, but it's Torah's Moshe. And in that sense, like the Gemara says about Yaakov, and Moshe Rabbeinu never died. In that sense, his legacy is what we have. That's the whole Sefer Torah. You know, some people say a piyut ashrecha haravorim, and so on. I don't know. They say Moshe Rabbeinu. Maybe, I don't know. Probably not that commonly said anymore. I guess by the Chassidim they say, you know, certain piyutim, just, you know, it's a moment of splendor, and, you know, kind of the sadness and the simcha mixed together. That mizug of emotion and simcha, to me, characterizes Simcha Torah, especially, with this I'll finish, not to wax too, you know, homiletic, but that's the whole conclusion of Yom Narayim. So I hold it, you know, Simcha Torah is really the end of Yom Narayim, and that blend of Nora, of Yira, and Simcha is what makes Simcha Torah, in a certain sense, you know, perhaps the highest level of Kedusha, you know, of the whole year. Shmini Atzeres and Simcha Torah is one. Years ago, I think I spoke about, you know, the uniqueness of Shmini Atzeres, I think, is the highest Kedusha. You know, in the Chassidish Aswarim, they write that Shmini Atzeres, all the tefillahs say answer on Shmini Atzeres. Interesting. Drosh on the Shmini Atzeres is regular from the Atzmal, the Indian Pazar Kajav. So all the tefillahs that were Nispazru, which was scattered around all year, we're asking Hashem Kajav. Pay attention now. So there's a tremendous amount of Kedusha these days, but certainly, I think the Simcha and the Avelas, however we learn these eight psukim, you know, can contribute to our answers of the Torah.
No, yeah, well, yeah.
It's all one day.
Well,
yeah.
One day, and you have Yizkor.
And you have Yizkor also. Yenachanam with the Doras, a lot to say. Okay, wish everyone a good Yom Tov.